Okay, so I don't know if we started it, but the paragraph on the left side, Yud Zayin, right? Page Yud Zayin, the last paragraph on the left. Right, so now he's about to give us a little bit of, like I said last time, a little bit of just a Rashi Prakim of who were the main Baalei HaMesora, a little bit, until as we see it to the Ramban. It's a limud by itself to know like the history of Pnimus HaTorah and who the main players are, but yeah, it's just Rashi Prakim. Yud Zayin. I think it was like a Shavuos night. I think Shavuos night comes years ago. Maybe that we spoke about it. Yeah. In Chochma Zois Haisa Bezgalia Arbetiris Rashbi Al Vashalom. So this Chochma Pnimus HaTorah was open. It was open until the death of Rishon Vayechai. Now again, you could read that to say like it was open from like Har Sinai until Rishon Vayechai. The Vashas means during the lifetime of Rishon Vayechai. In other words, we already know that. During the times of from Har Sinai till the first Beis HaMikdash, till basically the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, it was pretty much open territory. I mean, it was understood. This was, if you learned, there were yeshivas for Nevi'im. There were,
yeshivas for Nevi'im?
Yeah. You had a path, you know. Yeshivas that would produce, Rabbanim, whatever it is, and then for Nevi'im, B'nei HaNevi'im, there were yeshivas for that.
Was it still a separate thing, or that was the regular standard?
It was, Nigla and Nister was unified, it wasn't a separate thing, but obviously, to be a Navi, you have to sort of, that's a certain discipline, a certain focus, so they have their yeshivas, but, they had Navi, in other words, like, there were, every generation had in Tanakh here. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky pointed this out. In Tanakh, sometimes you have a person described as a navi, like Nevi'im, and then sometimes you'll have with a hey, ha navi. So Rabbi Yaakov points out that whenever you find that the term ha navi meant that he was the navi of the generation, then you had smaller Nevi'im, pratistik Nevi'im, But the another generation, and he was the ultimate bottom line in terms of Nevuah, and he was the one that guided the generation and all the Tamidim, they were all coming from him. Those are the famous Nevi'im, Yishai, Yirmiyah, those are the real Nevi'im. So during that time of Nevuah, Nigla Nister was pervasive. Everyone understood that Tzitzis was secrets of the universe. Everyone understood that. By the time, again, how proficient everyone was, okay, it's like anything else, this is the Madregas, but it wasn't like, there was no effort necessarily to keep it hidden on purpose. The nature of it is that it's mysterious, the nature of Pnimus HaTorah is that it's, that it doesn't, it's by its very nature, it lends itself to be not as open, but it wasn't like with an effort to hide it. By the second Beis HaMikdash, that's already things changed. Because Mishurabu Pritzim, there were subgroups and Apikarsis, and it was a difficult time. So Chazal, that's when the initiative began to suppress it, but to hide it, to make sure that it's kept pure and it's only by select people. So the Kahanim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mashal, they were sort of the guarantors of it. They were the ones that were the Shimrim of secrets of Torah. And the early generations was the Nevi'im. And then it was the Kahanim, the Beis HaMikdash. And it went on like that. It went on like that with increasing more and more secretism and like keeping it separate until Rishon Vayechai. The life of Rishon Vayechai, so then he had permission. He brought it back to the populace. And that's what he's saying over here, that during the lifetime of Rabbi Shimon, it was out in the open. This wisdom was revealed at Betiris Rashbi, until the histalkus of Rishon Vayechai. Umi'oz ve'elech nistam chazayin kanal. And from that point on, the vision became closed. In other words, it not only went back to what was before, which was, sort of this effort of hiding it, but it became increasingly more hidden. That's usually sometimes the way it works, as before a particular darkness, there's a huge light that comes, right? So Rishon Vayechai was like sort of, right after Rosh Shimon was a very, very serious period of like darkness for Pnimus HaTorah. So right before that you have the light of Rosh Shimon, But then things get closed. Kanal Ma'aseh Maimer, the Parshas Vayechi, like we saw, he quoted this earlier, a piece from the Zohar Kaddish, Kasha Rav Chezion Chalaymai, Rabbi Yehuda L'Rashbi, Davisolik Al Dalit Gadfin, Mistakna V'Sefer Torah Ime, that the Zohar says a story that when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai passed away, Rabbi Yehuda saw in a dream a vision of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai sort of ascending to heaven on like wings and taking the Sefer Torah with him. And he was taking all the different Sifri Kabbalah that were in the world, he was taking it with him up. That was the dream that Rabbi Yehuda had. Obviously, and he understood that was a simon. Omar, and so, oh, see, so the Zohar says that Rabbi Yehuda woke up and he, from that dream, and he says, "Bavadei medeshach of Rashbi, chacham estalakas mar." That means from the teth of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this wisdom is being removed from the world, and it became dark again. V'lo yishtar ba'alma, bar kamadichsiv, and the only thing that remains is kachts and senesachas. That's what we referenced before. This, like Moshe Rabbeinu was told, take a jar of man, a little bit of piece of man as a zecher. So that's the same thing over here. That's the larger context. That's what, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passes away, and all these secrets that were, you know, that were unbelievably open in his time are now very strongly shut. The Mishmeres, Letzniusa, that just like that man is kept secret, so too the secrets of Torah will now be kept private. And it wasn't Chas V'Shalom forgotten, but all the Chacham that knew this wisdom from the times of Rav Shimon and on, they would be Isaac in it in a very in great concealment, not in a revealed way. And he would only reveal it to his specific, that prized student in the generation. And even when he revealed it to the next generation, to the next student, it will be with Rashi Prakim. Mipel peh, verbally, not written down, and so on. Megal tefach u'mechasa elach tefachim. Revealing one tefach, hiding 1,000. So that's the way it was. So you could already tell that as a generation, this is where you'll have huge Yeridas Hadaras, you know, because you're talking about the Rebbe not being able to give over everything to this one student anyway, and not giving over everything, just Rashi Prakim. So it's not shocking that with time, this wisdom lost its purity, and it became mixed up with philosophy and all different stuff, because you have to fill in the blanks from those Rashi Prakim that you're receiving from your Rebbe, the footnotes that you're getting, so you have to fill it in with something. So if the hope is that the person fills it in with his own Ruach HaKodesh and Shef Eloki, and so there's he gets the Rashi Prakim from the previous generation, and he sort of has a Ruach HaKodesh to intuitively flesh it out. But if the person's not holding by that, then they'll flesh it out with their own ideas, assumptions, things they've learned from other places, or maybe holy sources, but not the actual tradition itself. So then it becomes sullied, it becomes muddied, it becomes, impure.
It's Rebbe Talmud, and the Rebbe is, right?
Yeah.
It's out of ever, so he's going to be Yeshua.
Yeah.
So how does that get...
We're not saying that it becomes corrupted Chas V'Shalom with bad things or with the wrong ideas, but it's not Ruach HaKodesh.
It's not Ruach HaKodesh.
It has to be Ruach HaKodesh. Right, exactly. Okay. So the optimal like dynamic of the transmission of Pinyus HaTorah is this strange back and forth, you know, sort of balancing act between receiving from the Rebbe, but having your own intuition and source and Ruach HaKodesh within yourself. So there's a... it's a big principle in Pinyus HaTorah Bechlal, is that, you know, there's a certain...
I'm shaking my head, I don't know what the Rebbe is.
But it's okay. There's a... The truth is, again, it's extreme when it comes to Pinyus HaTorah, but it's true to a certain degree with anything else. Like, a person can learn, you can learn things from your Rebbe, but at the end of the day, like Yerushalayim, you could hear the words from Yerushalayim, and you could sort of get the proper lessons and all that, but at the end of the day, it has to be from within the self as well. There is this, there's only so much that the Rebbe can give a person. At the end of the day, to a certain degree, all a Rebbe could ever give is Rashi Prakim, right? And the Talmud has to fill it, has to find the source of light within themselves to then, flush it out, you know? So That's true with all Yerushalayim, right? If a person is assuming that their Yerushalayim is only going to be based on what they receive from the person being mashpia to them, that's a mistake. It's not going to work. It doesn't work like that.
Is that the relationship between the Chachma and the Nekuda?
Yeah. There's a certain, that Nekuda HaPnimis, that essence of Yerushalayim, the point of Elokus, it's within you. It has to be. It can't be given over.
Everything else is revealed.
Yeah. So if a person only relies on that, so that's like, it's like, let's say, you're davening with a big tzaddik, and instead of davening, you're just watching the person the whole time, right? So, that's not really the way it's supposed to be. You're in the presence of a tzaddik, it's good, but that's what the tzaddik is giving the person Rosh Hashanah. Then you have to fill it in with your own avodah, with your own... that's true with all Yerushalayim. It's true with all of Avodas Hashem. Pnimis HaTorah is this to an extreme. It's like all they were giving over was Rosh Hashanah. So you better have your own fountain. You better have your own mayim within yourself to fill it out. Right? To a certain degree, the point of the Rosh Hashanah was just to give you the sort of the shovel to use to uncover your own personal spring. But you have to be able to do that. If a person doesn't have that, if a person doesn't have the ability to find that spring, then they might, try to get water from baris nishbarim, from broken cisterns in order to fill in the blanks. And that's what happened. That's what happened over time.
It also allows for the opportunity for this to be developed, though, because if
it does give space. Yeah, it does give space when the person receiving itaka has its own spring, so it gives room for there to be ischachas, a renewal, and again, we're learning about pnimis HaTorah, but again, by extension, this is true with all Yerushalayim. All Yerushalayim, all real avoda, all a Rebbe can do is to give over Rosh Hashanah. That's all a person can do. You can't give over Yerushalayim to somebody, you have to give over. I don't know how else to say it. You give over Rosh Hashanah. You give over the basic words and but at the end of the day, it's about the person in that context finding their own meichen. It's a very, very big principle in Pnimis HaTorah, is the way is ultimately, I'll give an example, like in the way there is, like you have, partsufim, there's, every parts of every spiritual infrastructure has its own meichen. It has its own meichen. But the way it receives its meichen is it travels through the parts of from above it. But what it gets through the parts of above it is its own meichen, right? So it's, it's not like that with math and science, right? With math and science, your teacher teaches you math. You didn't know math, now you know math. It's not like from within yourself, not like that. He's teaching you math, finished. That's what he does. So it doesn't make a difference if the guy is a nice varv or not. It's not gemina. He's teaching you math, you know math. It's not like with Torah. Torah is not like that. The function of a Rebbe is really just to sort of act as a way to give you what you need to find your mic. But it has to be your meichen. Yeah, the fact that it comes through your Rebbe means that it's definitely stamped by your Rebbe and it's definitely impacted by his personality and by his meichen. So there's layers of meichen, right? So, but deep down, ultimately, it has to be your meichen. Otherwise, what's the otherwise it's not. So to a certain degree, even though in Nigla, right, or not in Pnimis HaTorah, the person, the Rebbe is not limited to Rosh Hashanah. So the person can give shmuzin Yerushalayim. He could talk about all different things. He could be marach, right? But at the end of the day, this model is the model. The model is, at the end of the day, all of that, it could be volumes, but it's all Rosh Hashanah. It's all Rosh Hashanah giving you what you need to find your mayim. So that requires the person to work. That requires the person to believe in the fact that he has meichen and to work to uncover it. It's Kabbalah, the system of Kabbalah just brings this out very extremely. It's that literally all the Rebbe is allowed to say is Rosh Hashanah. But really that's the model in all of Torah. That's really the model of all of Torah.
Uncover your relationship with Hashem and your Neshama?
Yeah.
So does that mean that the Torah is the tool to uncover it, or the Torah is it? That is the relationship with Hashem and Neshama.
Both. I mean, Yisrael v'rais v'kutcherichu chad. It's one of the same. So there's a certain, you know. But that's why, you know, why do we celebrate yard sites? Why do we celebrate yard sites? Shemruchai passes away. Gevaldik. Why are we celebrating yard sites? So the truth is, Reb Tzadik points this out, is that the minhag of Klal Yisrael is that tzaddikim of Tanakh, we don't celebrate the yard site. We fast, like Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site, Zayin Adar, right? So the minhag is the Chevra Kedisha is fast. You know, there's the Aaron's yard site, there's Rosh Chodesh Av. A lot of places can say you can fast, even though it's Rosh Chodesh, because it's Aaron's yard site. So by Tanakh, tzaddikim, the minhag is to fast. Tarsh Bal Pet tzaddikim, Shemar Choy, Chulu, you make a Hilula, Shat. So what Tzadik says is because Tzadikim of Tanakh, so their Inyan is Nevuah. Their Inyan is like Tarash V'chsav. Well, when they pass away, it means we have less Shaychus to Nevuah. But when it comes to Tzadikim of Tarash Baal Peh, Fakir, everyone has a Chelik of Tarash Baal Peh. But when the Tzadik is around, then his Chelik of Tarash Baal Peh is so overwhelmingly large that every single one of us, we don't even notice our chelik because it's like overwhelmed by the presence of the tzaddik. But when the tzaddik passes away, now there's space for you to find your own chelik. So in fact, there's some level of simcha in the stalkus of the tzaddik because now there's space for you to find your own chelik. Again, your chelik is now discovered. You could only find your chelik because the tzaddik was there giving us Rashi Prakim. But while he's giving us the Rashi Prakim, it's so those Rashi Prakim are so overwhelming that you're not even thinking about your own chelik. But once he stops giving you the Rashi Prakim because he passed away, so now you realize what he was giving you. What was he giving you? Tools to find your chelik. So it's like at the time that you're receiving from the Rebbe, you don't think of it as tools that he's giving you to find your own chelik. What are you thinking? He's giving you Torah. And all you're getting is is the Rebbe's Torah. So it's Gevaldik. And then when the Rebbe goes away, then you have to sort of, there's a little disorientation that takes place. But then when the dust settles, you realize, one second, my Rebbe wasn't giving me Torah. He wasn't giving me his Torah. He was giving me Rashi Prakim to find my Torah. And now I have the tools to do that. So that's a simcha. That's a simcha. That's how it is. When the Talmud is receiving the Rashi Prakim, he doesn't feel it as Rashi Prakim. He feels it as like, oh wow, this is the Torah that I'm receiving. And then he realized, nah, it's not like that. The Rebbe wasn't giving you the Torah. Because what's the tachlis of you having your Rebbe's Torah? What does that gain? Your Rebbe has the Rebbe's Torah better than you'll have the Rebbe's Torah, yeah? So what's the tachlis of you having the Rebbe's Torah? The answer is, there is no tachlis of you having the Rebbe's Torah. There's a tachlis of you having your Torah. How do you find your Torah? So that means that you have to have the tools. So your Rebbe's Torah to you are tools to find your Torah. That's what it means, Rashi Prakim. That's what it means.
The minhag is Torah.
That Klal Yisrael have an intuition to know what the truth is. So everyone has their chelik of Torah. And your Rebbe is giving you, again, at the time, it feels like he's giving you Moshe Kilo Torah Mesina Mesar LeYeshua, but it's not. He's giving Yeshua Rashi Prakim to find the Torah of Yeshua. And that's what Yeshua does to the next.
Even though we always quote who said that Torah, right?
Because it's, again, it's important to have those, the pipelines. But ultimately, what is being transmitted are Rashi Prakim to allow you to find your chelik in Torah. As I said, what's the tachlis? No one's going to know the Torah of Yeshua ben Nun more than Yeshua ben Nun. So what does it help? So the answer is, it's not about Yeshua ben Nun's Torah, it's about our Torah. But I can't find my Torah unless I receive the tools from Yeshua ben Nun. And those tools come to me in the form of Yeshua ben Nun's Torah. But his Torah are the tools to find my Torah. That's the idea. Again, like I said, in Pinyin Sotar, this is just it's out in the open. This system, like this process, is clear because the Rebbe literally only gives Rashi Prakim. So what is the Talmud supposed to do? The answer is he has to fill in the blanks with what. So he has to find just like Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from the Rabbanu Shlomo. Everyone has to receive the Torah from the Rabbanu Shlomo, right? which is Moshe is giving the tools to find that to Yeshua. Yeshua gives the tools to find that to the Zakenim, and the Zakenim to the Nevi'im, the Nevi'im to Asher, v'chulu v'chulu. But everyone is ultimately receiving the Torah from their Rebbe, just b'Torah's Rosh HaPrakim, to find the way in which to receive the Torah from Hashem. In Nigla, we can convince ourselves otherwise. You could convince yourself that all I'm getting from my Rebbe is the Torah from my Rebbe. That's it. I don't have to do any excavation. But with Kabbalah, it's clear that you have to, because all the Rebbe is giving you is Rosh HaPrakim, and you know it. But the model of Pinyas HaTorah is in truth what's happening in Nigla. It's in truth what's happening in Musar, in Ashkafa, in Chassidus, you name it. All the Rebbe is giving are the tools for the Talmud to find his Torah. And the tools take the form of the Torah that he's sharing with the Talmud. But that's what's going on. He's just sharing tools for the Talmud to use to find his Torah. That's the process. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mesinai. And everyone has to follow that model, right? The Gemara says that we learn out halachas about how the Rabbanu Shalom taught Moshe Rabbeinu Torah. We have ma'ata b'chinam, ma'ani b'chinam, afata b'chinam. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to take payment for teaching Torah Shebal Peh. Right? It's halacha. You're not allowed to take payment to teach Torah Shebal Peh. So Rabbeim get paid for Schar Batola. They're getting paid for them not doing other jobs. They're getting paid to watch the kids. We figure out ways. But the actual teaching of Torah Shebal Peh, you're not allowed to get paid for. Why? What's the makar of that? The answer is because the Gemara darshins. That just like Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu for free, so too Moshe Rabbeinu has to teach others for free. One second. So it means that all of Talmud Torah is being modeled after how Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu. So, but it's a pella. That model we're not mimicking, like we're not learning from Hashem. So no. So the only part of that model of Hashem teaching Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, the only aspect that we're gonna take from is the fact that he wasn't getting paid for it. What about the whole Ikar Inyan, which is Hashem teaching Torah? That we don't have anymore. But that Nakuda of like not getting paid for it, that we do. The answer is that Allah is telling you something, that that's always what's happening. That Hashem is teaching Torah to every single Jew. Hamalami Torah Lami Yisrael. I, my Rebbe, is teaching me Torah. I'm getting Torah from my Rebbe. The answer is no, you're not. Your Rebbe's giving you tools to find your Torah. What do those tools look like? So instead of if you're trying to dig a well, you need a shovel. If you're trying to, get through concrete, you need a jackhammer. If you're trying to find your Torah, you need your Rebbe's Torah. But that's just a tool to find your Torah. So just like Moshe Rabbeinu received Torah from Hashem, we receive Torah from Hashem. Memela, every time a Rebbe teaches a Talmud, has to resemble how Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu for free. Every Rebbe teaches the Talmud for free. I, the Rebbe, is not teaching Hashem. Well, Hashem's teaching Torah, it's the Rebbe teaching the answer. No. It's Hashem. The Rebbe's making space for Hashem to teach Torah. That's exactly what's going on. Again, as I said, Pnimis HaTorah, the model of Pnimis HaTorah, just brings us out to the open. But it's true with everything else. You know, because the person has to find it on their own. That's the Indian.
The Rebbe, right. Like, the way he teaches it has to be in this